And our next topic is cancer, and it actually goes to one of our panel members, Simon
Wilson. That would be me.
That would be you. Mm. You put your hand up. Simon, for those who don't know, has been very public in talking about, writing about his experience of prostate cancer and the treatment that he's got. He has elicited what then could be called, I think, effusive praise, and I saw several comments over the weekend on his latest piece. Simon, look, rather than me tell your story, you tell your story.
Yes, I have prostate cancer. I was diagnosed just before Christmas 2017 and had radical surgery at the end of February last year. Now, at the time, a surgeon did a very good job, got negative margins all round, but they took out some lymph nodes and realised then that some of them were infected and therefore cancer was going to return. It now has. There's another tumour in the area where I pretty much had the last one in my prostate area. So I'm having some treatment on that now, and it has put me into the middle of this whole issue of how cancer funding is regarded, how it's approached, how we as a society deal with cancer, what we think are the important things to do around cancer, and the whole area of what are the priority funding areas and how that should be operated.
Your experience so far, how's it left you feeling,
well, I'm in the public system, but there is a test for my kind of cancer. There's a particular test. It's only available, I think there's only one machine in the country, certainly only one in Auckland, that's private. So I pay to have that diagnostic test done. It's a screening process, and that's really important, and it would be nice to think that that kind of thing was more widely available in the public system, because what we have at the moment is an awful situation where an awful lot of the debate takes place around how much funding will there be for the super expensive end-of-life drugs, some of which will extend life for only a very short period of time. Some of them have a much greater effectiveness than that, but some of them are just very short, a couple of months at the end. Whereas there is a real need for better diagnosis and testing, and there is a real need for the public system to keep up with the methods of treatment, which are these days with cancer, for many, many cancers, are pretty effective. And if people can be diagnosed early and treated well, a great many lives get saved because of that. So that's, to my mind, that's where the debate ought to be focused. Are we doing the best we can in those areas rather than talking about the super expensive drugs, which are not always as critical to longer-term health?
Carlo, have you been, your family, been touched by cancer at all?
Well, just more recently, a lot of my friends have been involved they've got advanced breast cancer and have been involved in pushing really hard against PharmAct to extend the lives of mothers. And I have a friend who her family have paid for the treatment because they can afford to, and I know that's just been heartbreaking for her to see so many of her peers not be able to have quality of life because they just can't afford it. And so it just kind of raises all kinds of questions, I guess, about what we value in society and how quality our healthcare actually is all round.
The cancer strategies outlined by the government and the setting up of the specialist body and dedicated funding, do you see those as being improvements, as likely to answer the issues, Simon, that you've raised?
I do. I've been surprised at the attacks on PharmAct that we've seen a lot of this year. I think quite a bit of that is probably drug company motivated. Having said that, it is clear, or seems pretty clear, that PharmAct's model would be a lot easier to operate if there was more money in it. Mm-hmm. And also, cancer is an area of healthcare where scientific medical improvements are happening all the time. It is really quite remarkable how much progress is being made. And that means that the PharmAct model has to be able to be responsive, quickly responsive to those things. And that's partly about resources, it's partly about the regulations they operate under, and it's partly about, I guess, the attitudes within Pharmac itself. You want them to be light-footed, you want them to be able to make decisions quickly, you want them to be able to hand out more money, of course, but you also want them to be free of political interference, you want them to be guided by good science, and you want them to be able to stand up to drug companies who are bullying them and saying that you need to take our drug and you need to do it now.
Do you think the issue's become too politicised?
I think it has.
I mean, you know, Simon Bridges was, excuse the phrase, busting a gut to get national strategy out there before the government got its strategy out there just so that he could claim some kudos. And I interviewed him on Morning Report, and I have to say that in the end, it seemed like they'd stolen some of Labour's lunch and they were just quick to put it out on the table and say, look, there we go. And it was a case of trying to find the level of political embarrassment rather than anything else.
I think you're right, stealing Labour's lunch. I mean, Labour had, it was an election policy, so we all knew they were going to do it, and they've done it in the way they said they were going to do it. But the other thing about national strategy was that it did really throw into sharp relief that question of the super expensive end-of-life drugs. And as I say, it's important that they're part of the picture. Of course it is. But they're not the centrepiece. They can't be the centrepiece of a cancer strategy.
All right, let's move on.